47. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 47. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man, arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled.
Okay. Evening all. Well, if you've been here the last few weeks, you'll know that that I've been doing a devotional series of looks at the last few days of Jesus' life. Can we get my slides up, Ben? I'm really just looking at some of Jesus' darkest moments. And this evening, for various different reasons, I've invited Marek to come up and share a few thoughts for a few minutes on that passage and on the subject of betrayal. And then I'm going to come and share some thoughts as well. So, Marek, over to you, brother. In fact, you come up here and I'll pray for you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it speaks to every part of our experience of life. And Lord, we pray that this evening, Lord, you would help us to understand your word. Help me and Marek to apply it to everyday life as best we can. But Lord, we pray that you, by your Spirit, would come and apply it to our hearts and encourage us and challenge us and help us and teach us and give us a kick if that's what we need, and be with us, Lord. Come and meet with us tonight through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Good evening, all. It's very nice of you from here. You can see all of you now. Okay. So today we're going to talk about fake friends. First of all, I just want to say, I hope you will understand my poor English. It's not really good. But anyway, I will try my best. So yeah, today we're going to talk about fake friends. And we all have a fake friend. And just to say, you know, even Jesus had one. And who is a fake friend? So is the person pretending that he is your friend, or people pretending that they love you? And everybody has one. And if you say you don't really have one, then you definitely have one, and it's somebody who you trust the most. I used to have a lot of fake friends, but I also was the one. I remember myself complaining that everybody around me are fake, but I never realized that I am fake as well. You know, spreading rumors about friends was my specialization. I've been fake friend, giving a fake love to my friends. Until I became Christian, and I change, and all my attitude towards people changed as well. But I still had a fake friends, but now this time, even the worst ones. First of all, let's look at the Bible story about Judas. Judas was fake friend, and disciples didn't know. They didn't know that until Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now the question is, why with a kiss? He could just point at Jesus and say, oh, this is the guy you're looking for. Take him down. But this is what fake friends always do. They betrayed with kiss. That's how my friends betrayed me. When I lived in Glasgow 3 years ago, I used to have loads of money, and I was only one young person in Wolgovonil area who had own flat, always money in a pocket, a drug dealers as a friend. So everybody wants to be my friend in the area. And I had two best friends, people I loved and trust. But they never did things I wanted to do. They did things what they wanted, and I paid for that because I was so stupid and I scared that I'd be alone if I don't please them. So I literally trying to buy them. One day they wanted to do something what I wanted for the very first time. And it's simply just take a walk in a nice garden, you know, a mile from my house, and have a nice quiet time. And that's the thing that usually young people doesn't like to do. But they were willing to do that day. And I was so happy that they finally did something when I wanted to. And while we was there in the park, somebody else break into my house and steal everything I had. And when I came back home, I saw the empty house and I was devastated. But my best friends called me down and helped me feel better. So after months, I found out who break into my house and I talked to him. And here's what he says. He says that, yes, he took all my stuff, but he would never been able to do it on his own. He said, somebody who you trust the most, they plan it and hired me to do it. He never said who it was, but I realized straight away who it was. My two best friends who been like brothers to me. This is why they took me out for a walk, so that my house will be empty. And they using me all the time, and I knew it. And it was my fault, because I was stupid and weak, tried to get approval from fake friends, and they took advantage of me. And as a Christian, I met some fake friends in a different category. Just for example, I met one girl recently on a Christian dating site, and she was very beautiful and very sweet. She came from my country and she texted me every day. But she always talked about her problems, her feelings, even her dog. But she never been interested in me. She never asked about me, how I'm doing, how was my life, how was my day. Now one day I realized that she's not really Christian and she's on a Christian dating site just because she wanted a Christian man who would do everything for her and that she will be in the center of his life. Because that's what people think about Christians today. That we are sweet, stupid, naive, blinded, brainwashed sheep. Yes, we are meek, but we are not weak. And I gave a real example of who's actually real Christians like. And she didn't expect that from me. So she never texted me back and I think she looked out of a Christian side as well. And because I'm Christian, a friend of Jesus, and I live in life like a godly person, I'm believers, doesn't want to be my friends. They may pretend that they like me, but in reality they don't, they hate me. Their expectations of us are different than who we really are. And they were always trying to avoid any conversations about Jesus because they hate Jesus as well. So they will be like you and love you until you will talk about Jesus. So my question to you is what Christian you are and what friend of Jesus you are. Because if you have lots of friends, unbelievers, and unbelievers like you and love to spend the time with you, it means that you are a fake friend to Jesus. All right. John's going to explain you what I meant, literally. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Keep your Bible open, Matthew 26. Matthew 26. There's some very helpful illustrations in there, Marek. And frankly, your life is more colourful than mine. And you so you've got some good stories. You've got some good stories, brother. Have a look at verse 45. Matthew 26, verse 45. Jesus returned to the disciples. Remember last time we were in the Garden of Gethsemane? They were praying. Jesus was praying. They were sleeping. Jesus returns to them and says, "Are you still sleeping? Come on, guys. Are you still sleeping? Look, the hour has come. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Here comes my betrayer. And tonight we are talking about betrayal. We're talking about betrayal. We're talking about Judas. Judas, I think, is a fascinating character. What do we know about him? First of all, he was reliable and trustworthy. You might think, really? But think about it this way. Somebody had to keep the money. Within the disciples and Jesus, they had money coming in and out, I'm sure. They were giving money away. They received money as well. Somebody had to look after it. Jesus had 12 choices, didn't he? 12 choices. One of which, I've just thought of this, one of which is Levi, whose job was to keep the money. He was a tax collector, wasn't he? But Jesus doesn't choose any of the others. He chooses Judas. Judas was keeper of the money bag, according to John 12. Why? Presumably because Judas was reliable, trustworthy, good with numbers. You don't want your church treasurer to be a flamboyant kind of person, do you? That's not who you choose for a church treasurer. That's not who you choose for your accountant. You don't want an impulsive accountant, do you? You want a steady, rock solid, you know, a steady hand on the rudder kind of person. That's what Judas was like. Reliable, trustworthy. Judas also had spiritual power and gifting. In Luke chapter 10, we get the events where Jesus sends out the 72. Jesus sends out 72 of his disciples. There were more than 12 of them, you see. Jesus sends them out to go and prepare the way for him as he's going to go around the whole area. And Jesus tells them to go out, cast out demons and heal people and proclaim to you that the kingdom of God is coming. And a little while later, they come back and they say, Lord, you know what? Even the demons submit to us in your name. Well, all except Judas, at least. Now, they don't say that, do they? They say, the demons submit to us in your name. Judas was one of the team. I think he probably had some spiritual power. He was used by God. He fitted right in with the others. That's the third thing. He fitted right in. He'd been with Jesus for 3 years. He hadn't stood out. Remember the Last Supper, the Passover. Jesus says to his disciples, one of you is going to betray me. And it's not as if all eyes suddenly go to Judas. Yeah, we know it's going to be you. It doesn't say that at all. It says, his disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. As far as his disciples were concerned, they had no idea what was going on in Judas' head. No idea. And I think verse 47 that Simon read to us earlier contains four of the scariest words in the New Testament. Judas, who was one of the 12, arrived. You see why that's scary? Judas, who was one of the 12, arrived. He was one of them. He wasn't an outsider. He wasn't some oddball loner. He was one of them. Would you have spotted him? He was one of the 12. Jesus was betrayed not by an outsider, but by a close friend. Scary, huh? What Marek was saying about fake friends. So true. We mustn't be surprised if fake followers infiltrate our ranks as church. It's always been that way. The wheat and the weeds grow up together, Jesus said. It's always going to be a mixture. Always be a mixture. True and fake followers, and it only gets sorted out at the judgment. So don't be surprised when you read in the paper or you see on the website that some vicar's been outed as being a child abuser. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Of course it's going to happen. Don't be surprised when someone, maybe a friend, maybe somebody close to you, hurts you, betrays you. When someone, maybe even in your own family, betrays you, or most painfully of all, in your own marriage. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at the deceitfulness of sin. Don't be surprised. What led to Judas' betrayal of Jesus? I've got a few things. First of all, Judas had a secret life. John chapter 12 again. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself. Secretly, of course. Nobody knew Judas's dirty little secret. But the money intended for the poor went into Judas's back pocket. Because big sins start with small sins. And open sins start with secret sins. I'm sure he only took a bit at first. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he only took a few pennies out at first. But it got bigger and bigger and bigger until that was what he was doing. That was his thing. Every affair starts with a look. That's what Jesus said, wasn't it, basically? Every murder starts with anger. Big sins come from small sins. Judas had this secret life that he was not prepared to deal with, that he was not dealing with. Simon was talking about repentance this morning. Judas didn't do the repentance. He may well have thought Jesus is a lovely guy. Jesus is a good guy to hang around with, but he certainly wasn't. He didn't have Jesus as Lord. He wasn't prepared to turn away from his sin. Second, Judas did not love Jesus above all. He loved money more than Jesus. Remember, if you were here for the very first week of this series, the story where Mary anoints Jesus with oil, pours this liter nearly of nard all over Mary. You'll never forget that, will you, if you were here. And she pours over this liter of perfume in this extravagant act of devotion. And all Judas can see is dollar signs draining out into the floor. You remember that? What a waste. What a waste. Jesus is not worth that much. What you're doing is insane, Mary. He's not worth that. We know exactly how much Judas valued Jesus. 30 silver coins. 30 small silver coins. At most, a day's wages. Not a lot of money to betray your friend. How much is he worth to you tonight? How much is he worth to you? Would you swap Jesus in your life for, I don't know, a few hundred quid? A few thousand quid? Don't know. But to the true believer, once you've found that precious pearl that is worth infinite value, that is worth selling everything else, getting rid of everything else so you can have him. That's because he's that precious to you. That wasn't what Judas had. As far as Judas was concerned, he did the maths. How much is Jesus worth to me? Yeah, that much. If you have to ask the question, he's not worth it for you. You haven't got it. You haven't understood who Jesus really is if you have to go through the maths in your head. He loved money more than he loved Jesus. Thirdly, Judas was a fake follower. Marek's been talking about this already. He says, verse 49, he says to Jesus, going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi." Greetings, Rabbi. Probably with a smile on his face. Rabbi just means teacher. Hello. Nice to see you. Judas knew Jesus well. That was the point, I think. I think that's why they asked Judas to show them which one was Jesus. It would have been dark. They perhaps needed someone to show them which of these group of men was the one to arrest. Some of you, I think, probably know how it feels to be betrayed by a fake friend. I know Marek does. I'm sure you're not the only one, brother. To be betrayed by a friend, that's hard, that hurts, that's painful, because it makes you question everything else that's gone before. Very painful. Judas was a fake follower. And Judas was controlled by the sinful nature. Now, you might say, well, at the Last Supper, you get these things happening, and as Jesus gives the bread to Judas, it says Satan entered into him. So you could argue, well, Judas was just controlled by Satan, but I think that's too simple. I think that's too simple. It's too easy to blame Satan for this. Sure, it was him. Evil was present. Evil is always present when one person betrays another, I'm sure. And Satan for sure was very active in those days when that happened. But Jesus holds him personally accountable as well. Jesus says, woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he'd not been born. Jesus holds Judas personally accountable for what he's done. He says to Judas in verse 50, he says, Judas, do what you came for. Do what you came for. Jesus is holding him personally accountable. And the thing is, Judas had this secret life well before Satan came along, didn't he? Judas was pocketing the money well before Satan came along at the Last Supper. Judas loved money more than Jesus before Satan inspired him to betray Jesus. And tonight, I just want us to see, I want us to be horrified by the utter depravity of human nature. How sinful sin is, how sinful the sinful nature is. You know, we see the appallingness of human behavior on TV screens, don't we? We see the news. We get all that. But it's tempting to think, you know what, if only we lived in a truly Christian country, if only we had a Christian prime minister, if only children prayed in school like they used to years ago, if only children sang hymns in assembly like they used to. One day I'll tell you about my earliest spiritual experience. I think my first experience of the Holy Spirit was in Caldon Primary School. I'll tell you that story another day. But if only the children were singing Christian hymns like they used to all those years ago. If only we had laws that reflected the Bible standards of truth and morality. If only everyone in the UK had great Christian friends, a society saturated in gospel-flavored goodness, then it would all be okay. No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't, because that's what Judas had. That's what Judas had, wasn't it? Judas was hanging around Jesus for 3 years, seeing incredible miracles, the like of which nobody has ever seen before. He witnessed everything. He took part, probably, in exorcisms and healings. He looked like a follower. He spoke like a follower. He acted like a follower in many ways, but he was unregenerate. He was unchanged on the inside. And look what his sinful heart did. And never, ever underestimate the sinfulness of sin in the human heart. Our greatest need as human beings is for the gospel of Jesus to come alive in us, to explode into life in us, so that we see Jesus as altogether worthy and we see ourselves as utterly hopeless without him. That's what we need. We need regeneration, and nothing else will do, because the sinful nature is so strong, so deceitful. Romans 5 describes the human heart as a captive soul, powerless. And yet, Paul says, while we were still powerless, Christ died for us. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm going to finish off. I just want to speak to two different kinds of people tonight. First of all, if tonight you know in your heart of hearts that you're a faker, you know you're a fake friend, you know that maybe you're a fake believer, is there still hope? I think Judas knew. I think Judas knew that there was no genuine trust in Jesus. I think Jesus knew that Jesus was not his first love. How about you tonight? Do you love me? Jesus said to someone else. Is there hope, therefore, for someone in that situation? I think it's significant that the very last words that Jesus says to Judas is the word friend. Do what you came for, friend. Friend. Even as Judas goes to give the sign that will betray Jesus and inevitably ends in his death, even as he's doing the deed, the Son of God calls him friend. Wow. That's grace, isn't it? So if you know that you're a faker tonight, don't fear that he's going to turn you away. You might feel wretched about yourself. You might feel like everything you've been has been a lie for years and years. But the moment you turn to him, he'll take you. He'll take you back. If he called Judas friend, that should give you some reassurance that he will for you as well. But you must come. But you must come. Because one day it will be too late. And Judas ended up despairing at what he'd done. And today, I believe Judas is in hell because he didn't turn to Jesus. What if tonight you're not like that at all? What if tonight you've been betrayed? Maybe by someone close to you. I love these words. Did I put them in this slide, Psalm 55? I did, good. What if you read Psalm 55, which is it's like a lament of a betrayed person, really. And you say, yeah, this is me. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it's you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship. You're the one who's betraying me. Maybe if that's you tonight, what do you do? What do you do? If you've been hurt by people, I'd say don't retaliate. Don't take revenge, even though that might feel very, very, very tempting. As Jesus told Peter, put your sword back, Peter, because all who draw the sword will die by the sword. And boy, is that true. I don't know about you. I could tell you story upon story upon story of people who have let disputes get out of hand and they've perpetuated, because they've basically got the sword out and started hacking away at each other, that disputes have perpetuated even down generations sometimes, and you get families divided in two. All who draw the sword die by the sword. Never, ever retaliate or take revenge. Revenge never, ever leads to a good place. But if you've been hurt, if you've been betrayed, console yourself in the God-man Jesus. Because he's walked this road already. He was more innocent than any of us and was betrayed far worse than any of us as well. Whatever your level of private pain, he knows. He understands it. He understands it because he's been there and you can bring it to him. One more verse from Psalm 55. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. We're going to share communion together in just a few moments. And as we do so, let's just remember that Jesus was completely innocent of all charges. The problem with us is, one of the many problems with us, is that even when we feel betrayed, it's not usually 100% one-sided, is it? There's usually something of us that's involved in that as well. But for Jesus, he was completely innocent, more innocent than any of us, and yet he was betrayed far worse than any of us as well. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, none of us will ever betray you as badly as Judas did. And yet you still offered your friendship to him as he was in the act of betraying you. May that give hope to anyone here who knows that they've fallen short. May that give them the confidence to come to you, Lord. And for any here this evening who are hurting, Lord, gentle Holy Spirit, come and minister to your hurting people. Thank you that you understand. Thank you that you've trodden this hard road before us. Help us to cling to you. Help us to cast our cares on you and to trust you to sustain us. Amen.